local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good afternoon. This is the midday news for today, Monday, April 15th, 2024.
We're news.
Well, I'm your presenter, Richie Farrell, in the headlines.
Local.
Youth delegate and ambassador from Dominica, Ferdinand Valmont, is attending IRENA's 14th session, which aims to empower youth in the energy sector with a focus on tripling renewables by 2030. St. Vincent and the Grenadines Prime Minister, Ralph Gonsalves, announced on Sunday that a new scanner that can identify illegal weapons could be deployed at Port Kingston by Monday, 15th April.
Wherever it happens.
And Israel's Western allies have urged the government of Israel to avoid any escalation as it considers a response to Iran's unprecedented missile and drone attack. The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. Details coming up.
Top of the hour news.
You've been putting off. Do it today with a loan of up to $20,000 from Quartz Ready Cash. No collateral needed. Flexible payment terms and fast approval. All you need is your ID, proof of address, job letter, payslip, and two references. Visit your nearest Quartz or Ready Cash location today or apply online at Quartz.com. Why wait? Get it done today at Quartz Ready Cash. We are ready when you are.
Conditions apply.
Whatever you've been putting off, do it today with a loan of up to $20,000 from Quartz Ready Cash. No collateral needed.
Welcome back. IRENA acknowledges the crucial role of consensus in advancing Paris Agreement objectives. Ambitious targets like tripling renewable energy and doubling energy efficiency by 2030 highlight the necessity of youth involvement for a just energy transition. With half the world's population under 30, young people hold immense potential to drive the adoption of renewable energy. IRENA is dedicated to integrating youth perspectives into decision-making processes through customized initiatives. Youth delegate and ambassador from Dominica, Ferdinand Valmont, is participating in this year's IRENA Youth Forum and underscores its significance as a platform for intergenerational dialogue and global youth empowerment. He says the forum is being held under the theme, Youth at the Core of a Just Energy Transition, Skills, Empowerment, and Innovation. And we'll discuss topics such as skills development, youth empowerment in energy agendas, and fostering youth-led innovation in sustainability. The delegate anticipates a successful forum empowering youth worldwide.
Ferdinand Valmont, youth delegate and youth ambassador representing Dominica at the 14th session of the IRENA Assembly as well as the 2024 IRENA Youth Forum. This year, the forum will surround the theme of the new generation of decision makers, youth at the core of a just energy transition, skills, empowerment, and innovation. And of course, the forum will serve as a platform facilitating intergenerational dialogue between youth, high-level officials, and stakeholder representatives, with the aim of boosting the capacity of young individuals, fostering the advancement of youth-led innovation, and amplifying their voices on the global stage. And as you can tell by the theme of this year's conference, it was developed surrounding young people's involvement in tripling renewables by 2030. And of course, we continue to see a lot of young persons being involved in these decision-making processes as it relates to sustainable development and achieving the Sustainable Development Goals 2030 agenda. And of course, the objectives of the entire conference this week for the couple days coming ahead would be skills for a just energy transition, empowering youth voices in energy agenda, and fostering youth-led innovation in sustainability.
According to Mr. Valmont, day two of the event scheduled for April 15th promises to be highly engaging, with the agenda focusing on topics like building capacity for a youth at the core of just energy transition, energy sector policies, and empowering local communities, including indigenous groups, in the transition to green energy.
The conference have been going good so far in regards to the many discussions that were held. It officially started on Sunday, which was the 14th of April, and of course many topics were covered and moderated by numerous dignitaries, including Empowering You for a Just Energy Transition. On the 15th, of course, we also look forward to an engaging discussion with young people, as of course we will be discussing a number of areas that includes finance, science and technology, empowering local communities for energy transition. We'll also be covering policy in regards to young persons and energy transition, as well as a TED Talk session. For me, the experience have been good so far. Representing Dominica at this event is nothing short but amazing and a huge honor. And being able to serve as an ambassador, youth ambassador, is even a great honor for me. So I look forward to updating the Dominican people on the happenings of the Youth Assembly. And of course, we do encourage them to follow the IRENA Youth Assembly social media pages, as well as the IRENA social media pages, for all your updates on the happening of the conference. I am here in the UAE as one out of two Caribbean youth, and of course this shows that Dominica's young people are really working towards having their voices included in these conversations, coming from a small island development state.
And that was Ferdinand Valmond, Dominica's youth delegate and ambassador at the 14th IRENA Youth Forum. Minister of Agriculture Roland Royer discussed the government's initiatives on a recent agriculture program broadcasted on state-owned radio. He highlighted the significance of the Meet the Farmers Tour, initiated upon assuming office, aimed at gauging the pulse of progress in the agricultural sectors and addressing challenges faced by farmers. Royer emphasized the government's commitment to addressing the concerns raised by farmers, citing the investment of over $30 million in rehabilitating and reconstructing feeder roads following Hurricane Maria. This investment directly addresses a long-standing challenge expressed by farmers here in Dominica.
We did the Meet the Farmers Tour in every region, the seven agricultural regions. The main objective was to really feel the pulse of the sector and to meet farmers, identify the concerns and constraints, get recommendations from them, and how we as a government and ministry can assist them, you know, to make their farming practices and their livelihoods a bit better. I must say the farmers were very, very receptive to us when we did that. In addition to the farm visits, when we went to see the actual practices, we concluded the day with a town hall where we could have a wider cross-section of the community to hear our plans, and most importantly, to hear from them the challenges and recommendations that they could offer to us as a ministry. Some of the main challenges that were identified when we conducted our series of farm visits and town halls were: one, farm labor was one of the number one issue that they raised. Farm access to a certain extent. Feeder roads and the cost of inputs. Since the Meet the Farmers Tour, as a ministry, we have made progress in tackling some of the issues that they identified. But even before that, I must say, in terms of farm access and feeder roads to have them go to the farm comfortable, since Hurricane Maria, the government itself has invested over $30 million in the rehabilitation and construction of feeder roads.
Mr. Royer explained that the government assessed all feeder roads across the island to prioritize road construction for better farmer access. This organized approach ensures systematic construction of farm access roads, benefiting farmers. He emphasized the significant investment made to support agricultural development in this area.
What we did an assessment of all the feeder roads in Dominica and ranked them by priority. And factors we used to rank them would have been number of active farmers, potential for expansion, etc. So we had that ranking and we prioritized the feeder roads going through. So that's what informed investment in a particular location. As we speak, investments are ongoing. We should have just concluded the feeder road that leads from Pichley to Belfishupe. That one feeder was over $6 million. Even in Clifton, in my constituency, we've just concluded a portion of farm access worth over $600,000. You know, and the list goes on and on and on. So that is one we have on the farm, on our front burner, to continue investing in. And as I said, we have prioritized them and we tackle them one by one. In addition to that, and we have to understand that investment in roads is not only from access, but we have main roads, we have other tributaries that government has to give priority to as well. You know, so I'm just asking the farmers that are still challenged with farm access still to be a bit patient. We'll get to you while we seek the resources and invest more into farm access.
Agriculture Minister Roland Rouye. The heads of government of the Caribbean Community, CARICOM, have expressed their support for Haiti as the nation takes a significant step towards stability with the establishment of the Transitional Presidential Council. This 9-member council, characterized by its broader-based and politically inclusive nature, represents a beacon of hope for a new beginning in Haiti. CARICOM has been steadfast in its support for Haiti, standing by its sister nation through the intricate process of devising a Haitian-owned formula for governance. This formula aims to guide Haiti through elections and the restoration of lapsed state institutions, ultimately leading to constitutional government. Building on the agreements forged in Kingston, Jamaica on March 11, 2024, which brought together diverse stakeholders from Haitian politics, the private sector, civil society, and faith-based organizations, the Transitional Presidential Council has laid out a framework for its creation, organization, and functioning. Additionally, the Council has reached a political accord that charts the way forward for Haiti. The endorsement from CARICOM heads of government is resolute, particularly highlighting Article 16 of the political accord, which emphasizes the Council's mission to restore dignity, democratic legitimacy, stability, and sovereignty to Haiti while ensuring the proper functioning of state institutions. The urgency of addressing Haiti's security situation is paramount to the newly installed Presidential Council. You're tuned in with Q95 News. During her remarks at the DDA conference room on April 10, 2024, Discover Dominica Authority, DDA's partnered sponsor, marketing assistant at NCCU Limited, Monique Jeffrey, expressed her institution's willingness and commitment to support DDA's Jazz and Creole Festival for this year.
National Cooperative Credit Union is happy to partner with the Discover Dominica and Dominica Festivals Committee on Creole Fusion, this year's staging of Jazz and Creole. As your community financial partner, remain committed to our Dominican community in every aspect. Moreover, contribution to economic growth is key for us. We understand the plight of our members, and this is where products like our Beyond the Mortgage, BTM, come into play. We want everyone to be able to develop themselves, their family, and their community, even beyond owning a home, something which is considered a financial heavyweight. BTM addresses this perfectly by putting financing for education, medical, furniture, vacation, personal development, and green energy in the hands of our mortgage holding members at super reduced rates. At this point, I want to encourage all our members who will be patrons at Jazz and Creole 2024 to enjoy everything that Jazz and Creole has to offer, and also to consider safety first when transacting business. Use your EMV chip international debit card. Also sign up for CU online to track your transactions over the course of your Jazz journey. And if you need extra financing quickly and easily, apply for Get It Now Easter Loan, which is available up until April 30th.
Ms. Jeffrey encouraged all visitors and locals to attend the event and to sign up for great deals which will be offered on-site at the Cabrits National Park in Portsmouth during the Jazz and Creole Festival on May 5, 2024.
So, what will NCCU Jazz and Experience offer this year? Look out for our community ambassadors at the grounds and upstairs at the boutique Dominic space. Say hi, take a photo with us, and learn more about your NCCU. Also get answers to questions, take a chance to win some awesome prizes, all compliments your community financial partner. We hope to see you there on May 5th. Thank you.
And that was Marketing Assistant at NCCU Limited, Ms. Monique Jeffrey. The I Have a Right Foundation, or IHARF, is thrilled to announce the launch of its nationwide 100 Good Deeds campaign, set to run from April 15th, that's today, to December 15th, 2024. This initiative aims to inspire individuals across the country to engage in acts of kindness and make a positive impact in their communities. The 100 Good Deeds campaign is part of a larger global Good Deeds Day initiative, celebrated across 108 countries worldwide. IHARF believes that by fostering a culture of kindness and compassion, we can create a more inclusive and harmonious society. The foundation is excited to launch the 100 Good Deeds campaign and invite everyone to join in spreading kindness, said Valerie Honore, founder of I Have a Right Foundation. Small acts of goodness can have a big impact, and together we can make a difference in the lives of others, she says. Participants in the campaign are encouraged to pledge to perform at least one good deed during the campaign period, whether it's helping a neighbor in need, planting a tree, volunteering at a local charity, or simply spreading positivity through acts of kindness. Every contribution counts. To participate in the campaign, individuals, families, groups, businesses, and organizations can sign up through the IHARF website or contact the foundation directly. Register your good deed and consent to us sharing your good deed with the world. For more information about the 100 Good Deeds campaign and how to get involved, persons can visit www.ihaveareight.org. In more news, the Kanner Heritage Park is getting an upgrade, and that's due to the planned construction of a $355,000 reception facility in Kapushin. Parliamentary representative of the Cottage constituency, Mr. Roland Royer, says the new facility will be an excellent addition to the park, which is a popular area for weddings and tours. The construction for the reception facility began in 2019. However, due to various challenges, work slowed down and eventually stalled. During the first week of April 2024, work recommenced on the facility and is expected to be completed very soon, as the team on site have begun installing various fixtures such as windows and doors.
Kanner is known for hosting weddings, a lot of tours from tourists, and also educational tours from students as well, who visit periodically to learn more of the heritage and the history of Kanner Heritage Park. In 2015, we did some rehabilitation works and restoration of the park with Dr. Onyx Shekin lead on it, and you will see further down, we have an interpretation center, which basically displays the history of Kanner Park. Because of the traffic we were experiencing at Kanner and the demand for hosting events such as weddings, we really requested the construction of a reception center to include the restaurant and washroom facilities.
Parliamentary representative of the Cottage constituency, Roland Royer. Former IMF financial economist and United Workers Party leader, Dr. Thompson Fontaine, affirms his party's ongoing commitment to its mission to develop Dominica in a sustainable manner, which includes meticulous plans that are not focused simply on election outcomes. Dr. Fontaine underscored the importance of timely actions rather than just planning for electoral success. He announced plans for a forthcoming national economic summit on the island aimed at fostering vital discussions on economic revitalization and sustainability and the way forward for the major pillars of Dominica's economy. As part of this initiative, a dinner and award ceremony are scheduled for June 4, 2024, marking the commencement of this first annual endeavor.
We are looking forward to this grand conference or summit. It's called the Dominica Economic Revival Summit that is now scheduled for June 4th to 6th, and that will take place at the Jungle Bay Resorts. We are going to start with a dinner and an awards opening ceremony and awards dinner on the 4th, and then we'll have 2 full days of discussing the economy And I want people to be, I want to assure the Dominicans that this is not just going to be a talk shop. We are not just going to be talking intellectually or you know, theories. We are going to be talking practical solutions. We are in the phase of planning. We want to be sure that when we assume, when you, the people of Dominica, place that confidence in us to be your next government, that we are ready to go on day one. So that's part of our forward planning. We're not going to wait until you've elected us to start thinking, to start planning. We are starting the planning early and carefully. We are getting the experts. We are listening to everybody. We are putting those plans together so that from the time we hit, you know, on day one, we'll be able to execute on your behalf. So that's what this is all about. And I hope that you can join us and be a part of this. And
Dr. Fontaine also addressed the issue of the national abattoir, expressing his belief that it should have been incorporated into discussions and efforts concerning the livestock sector of agriculture.
If I could just move on just a little bit about the abattoir, of course, that should be a part of a good part of the livestock part of what we are seeing. But again, this government has shown just this incredible inability to do anything successfully. I mean, they're not even able to run successfully an abattoir. We've heard of all of the problems that they've gone through, even to the point of wastage and not paying persons and so on, and all of this. And you would think that an abattoir would be at the center of providing a livelihood support for so many people. But the problem is you cannot go into an abattoir without providing support for the farmers. You must have this ability for the farmers to firstly be able to access feed, because if they're not able to access feed or the feed is way too expensive, then whatever price you're able to offer them may not be able to offset the high cost of the feed. So the ability to support the farmers where they're able to get those inputs, get the animal feed, you know, be able to get the medicines, and if it is vaccine, whatever it is that they have to do to have a healthy livestock or poultry that they can sell to the abattoir, that has to be done, you know. So that is something that, you know, we certainly have to look at. And I get the impression that this abattoir has been a haphazard type of thing. It was not well thought out, and hence the issues that we're having now. And then, surprise, surprise, another abattoir on the way, and you all know what has happened to the first abattoir. So that is something I believe that we really can do better with.
United Workers Party leader Dr. Thompson Fontaine. In other news, the Prime Minister of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, Ralph Gonsalves, announced on Sunday while appearing on WeFM that a new scanner that can identify illegal weapons could be deployed at Port Kingston as soon as today. According to Gonsalves, even though one machine was already established at Camden Park, it required some time to find the appropriate machine and set it up, and the cost of each unit was $1 million, he says. One 38 special revolver and a comprehensive selection of ammunition totaling 2,538 rounds were taken into possession by the police on April 9th. The ammunition, including calibers such as 40mm, 9mm, 380, FN 5.7x28mm, and a 22mm ammunition. In addition, the police were able to seize an extended magazine and a quantity of pyrotechnics that landed at Port Camden Park. And Israel's allies, have urged the government of Israel to avoid any escalation as it considers a response to Iran's unprecedented missile and drone attack. Tehran launched more than 300 projectiles at Israel on Saturday in what it said was retaliation for a strike on its consulate in Syria. Germany's foreign minister, Annalena Baerbock, called for calm. President Emmanuel Macron says France will do everything possible to avoid a regional conflagration.
Israel's air defenses call to action. In the early hours on Sunday, fighter jets battled waves of Iranian drones and missiles fired at Israeli targets. It marked the first time Iran has attacked Israel directly from its own soil. Explosions could be heard widely, including in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. Israel says that 99% of more than 300 drones and missiles launched by Iran were intercepted. some of those that got through hid here in the sensitive Nevatim Air Force Base in southern Israel. Nearby, 7-year-old Amina Hasuna was seriously injured when a missile fragment struck her house.
The children were frightened and wanted to run away from home, and that's when the missile hit our house.
The Israeli War Cabinet met yesterday to plan its next move.
That's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. Youth delegate and ambassador from Dominica, Ferdinand Valmont, is attending IRENA's 14th session, which aims to empower youth in the energy sector with a focus on tripling renewables by 2030. St. Vincent and the Grenadines Prime Minister Ralph Gonzalez announced on Sunday that a new scanner that can identify illegal weapons could be deployed at Port Kingston by today. Israel's Western allies have urged the government of Israel to avoid any escalation. As it considers a response to Iran's unprecedented missile and drone attack.
Q95, the big station.
The news was brought to you with the very kind compliment of Quartz Dominica Limited.
Happens local, regional, and global only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.